Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, happy Monday to everyone. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper today. We have plenty of open lines for you right now. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. We've been talking this month about foundations. What is the foundation to build a life upon? And last week we talked about the fact that Jesus Christ is that foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is our very life. Yeah. And I wanted to spend a few minutes today talking about the gospel message, why Jesus Christ actually came. And he says on a number of occasions that he came that we might have life and have it to the full. Well, why did he say that? Why did he come that we might have life? Well, the reason is that we were spiritually dead,
correct,
that we were separated from the life of God. And that all happened as a result of Adam and Eve's choice to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had warned them. He said, the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now, they didn't die physically, did they?
No, they lived for another 900 plus years.
A long time. But they did die spiritually. They were separated from the life of God. Now, what does the gospel do? It restores that life back into mankind. So the day you believe in Jesus, the day that gospel message really touches your heart, moves it to a point of belief, is the day that you go from death to life.
Yes.
That's what the gospel message is all about. So we know the gospel in terms of the story of Jesus, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised back to life according to the scriptures. And then he ascended and took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. That's the gospel story, but it has benefit to you and I. So when we believe, we go from death to life. That's the good news. That's what happens to you and I. So Paul wrote it this way in his epistle to the Ephesians. He said, as for you. So he's talking to you out there, listeners. He was talking to me. He's talking to anyone. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. So what's the problem according to this passage?
We're dead in transgressions and sins.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem. Now, that is masked over by a lot of symptoms or manifestations of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our spiritual deadness shows up in a lot of ways, doesn't it?
Yes.
There's a lot of people struggling with alcohol. They're dependent. They're, quote, alcoholics. They're drug dependent. So those are problems. And for a lot of those people, the root cause of that is the fact that they're spiritually dead. They have this emptiness inside. They have this restlessness inside, and they don't know what to do with it, and they don't know how to fix it. So they mask that over. They cover that over. They try to numb the pain of that with alcohol and drugs. But that doesn't fix anything. It simply covers over what the real problem is, the fact that they were spiritually dead and in need of life. There's a lot of people that are trying to fill that emptiness through human relationships. They go from one man to another or from one woman to another, hoping that they're going to find some satisfaction and contentment in those relationships. Others are driven by money. If I could just get more money. Someone asked Rockefeller one time, you know, are you happy? Do you have enough money? And he said, no, I just need a little bit more. Even all of the millions that he had was not enough to bring contentment to his soul, to fill that emptiness inside. So he was dead spiritually. And when you're dead spiritually, there's only one thing that's going to satisfy that. There's only one thing that's going to solve that problem, and that is to be made alive in Christ Jesus. And so Paul goes on in this passage. So you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And what is wrath? According to the word of God, wrath is eternal separation
Yes.
from God. So at the end, when the final wrath is going to be poured out, all that is God's judgment against those who have refused to receive life through Jesus Christ. And they're going to remain dead eternally, separated from the life of God forever. That is the final judgment against those who rebel against the good news. But then he goes on, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So when this gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, touches a human heart and a light bulb goes on, what happens to that human being at that moment? He goes from death to life.
Yes.
That's big.
That's the solution for that really big problem.
Yes.
And it took a really big God to deal with that really big
problem.
That's
right. It took a God who had power over death
Yes.
to bring that about. And where was that demonstrated? In the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, to those who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, they will be saved. So what does that salvation look like? Going from death to life. That's what this is all about. A lot of folks need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. But salvation is so much more, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. I remember, you know, back in the dark days, I desperately wanted to know that I was forgiven. It was on my mind all of the time. And, you know, I asked for forgiveness 35,000 times in a week, you know. and I couldn't come to a conclusion about the forgiveness because that's all I knew about. I thought forgiveness would set me up in order to live the proper kind of life. I didn't realize that I was dead and needed life. And it's when I figured that out, when it was revealed to me and I could accept that, that forgiveness finally made sense. Apart from eternal life given to us in Jesus, forgiveness is pointless. There
Seems
is no
to
meaning
yes.
to us.
Yes, yes. So, and it's not just any life, it's his life.
His life.
So when the Bible talks about receiving Jesus, I mean, we're actually receiving his life
Yes.
into ours. So he comes to live inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So going from death to life, our spirits are made alive, and then Christ comes to live in us, and there's a union that forms.
Yes.
Us in Christ, Christ in us. And that's what this gospel message is all about. So Ravi Zacharias said this. He said, God did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive.
Yes.
So that's what this gospel is all about. And until we understand that, we seem to struggle.
Yes.
And Christians seem to struggle. We, you know, God, help me become a better person. Mm-hmm. Help me to get a little better in this area of my life. Well, he's not interested in that. He wants to give you a whole new quality of life altogether.
Yes.
He wants to give you his life. And that's going to be radically different. And that life is going to start to change us from the inside out. So that's what the gospel message is. There are many people out there listening to us today, Richard, who have been frustrated with the Christian life. Many may have walked away from Christianity saying,
Yeah.
it just didn't work for me. And the reason it didn't work is because they missed their real need. They thought all they needed was forgiveness, when in reality they needed something much bigger, and that was the very life of Christ itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like sometimes we pastors need to apologize to people, because we explain the sin problem, and it's not a sin problem. We say, you know, the mistake was that Adam and Eve ate from the tree, which implies that if you stop eating from the tree, the problem will go away. That's not it.
Right.
They died. That's the problem with sin, is that it caused death.
It had a consequence.
It had a consequence.
Yes.
And Jesus was powerful enough in his gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, to overcome that death. So it's never been about stopping doing bad things. It's always about coming to Jesus to receive life, and then the Spirit works through us to deal with the other things.
A transformation takes place from inside to out.
Yes.
And that's how God works it. So he wants people to come alive in him. That's why he raised Jesus from the dead. So just as he was raised from the dead physically, you and I can be raised from the dead spiritually, yeah, and we can experience eternal life right here, right now. It's not something that we get when we go to heaven. It's something that comes to us, comes to live inside of us in the person of Christ,
yes,
right here, right now. That's what this gospel message is. And with that as a foundation, with that as kind of the initial step, then everything flows from there. How this life starts to spell itself out, manifest itself in relationships, just boggles the mind.
Yeah.
It becomes something that is more than we could ever dream or imagine. So we need to start right here with the life of Christ. And if there are people out there listening to us today struggling with Christianity, they've walked away, my challenge is to take a fresh look. And would you understand it as receiving life, Christ's life? And if you've never done that, will you receive Christ's life today? And it's as simple as saying, Lord, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, and I am putting my full weight of faith and trust in those facts. And
yes,
when you do, you will be made alive together with Jesus. You will cross over, as John said, from death to life.
Yeah.
And at that point, the transformation begins. And it's good news.
Sure.
Well,
is.
That is the gospel. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. 844-322-2742 is the number if you would like to weigh in on this topic. If you've been frustrated in your belief system, not really grasping the fullness of this gospel message, we would love to hear from you and to talk about it and to really open up the Word of God together and to see that Jesus Christ actually did come that we might have life,
yes,
and have it abundantly. Call right now, 844-322-2742. I want to say thank you to all of those who support Basic Gospel with their prayers and gifts each and every month. Without what you do, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And certainly in this culture in which we live, the gospel message needs to get out. There are people looking for political solutions. There are people looking for financial solutions, people looking for all sorts of solutions. And those will never work. Those will never solve the deep needs of society. Only the gospel can reach in and make a true difference, a true impact. And so we thank those who support this broadcast so that good news can get out and people can respond and be saved and grow in grace and in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to live differently in this world. To those who give this month, we have a special gift, a way of saying thank you. It's my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We want to put that into your hands. So if you can help us get the word out, we want to say thank you by sending you that book. You can make a contribution by going to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button. and follow all the instructions. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We want to get that into your hands as quickly as we can. Read it. I think it will be a huge encouragement to you personally, will help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. And then it can be a resource that you can share with others. Again, go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button right on the front page and follow the instructions, and be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. 844-322-2742 is the number to call right now. 844-322-2742. Richard, we had an interesting question that came in to us via email.
Yes, we did. From Vernon, who listens to us on our app, our smartphone app. So thank you, Vernon. Thank you so much for what you guys do. Explaining the new covenant of grace has changed my life. Thank you again for being there to renew my mind daily, because left to its own devices, I'm in trouble. My question has to do with the Holy Spirit, the focus being that the cycle we are led into when we are told not to grieve Him. This cycle is often described as, we receive the Spirit at salvation, but when we mess up in sin, we grieve the Spirit. Then when we repent, then Jesus will love us again and can operate in our lives. This just seems wrong to me. I feel Jesus is not limited to loving me or blessing me because of my behavior. Could you please speak on this subject of grieving the Holy Spirit in context so I may begin to grasp this subject in light of the new covenant?
I think that's a wonderful question.
And it fits right in with what we've been talking
about.
Yes,
indeed. And the idea of grieving the Holy Spirit of God is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And this is in a section that, in my Bible, the heading for this section is Instructions for Christian Living. And so he's making a contrast initially between what life was for the Gentiles, those who were in darkness, separated from the life of God. And he says, you didn't learn Christ that way. Put off that old, put on the new.
Yes.
So that's the bottom line.
Yeah, we're alive now because of chapter 2.
That's right.
And what Jesus accomplished. So put that on. Put off the old, put on the new.
Right. So now that we put on the new, that life looks different than what that old life looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes through a series of contrasts. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So right there is the context. Christian living takes place within community. You know, if I'm going to love, I have to have somebody to love. If I'm going to have speak truth to somebody, there has to be somebody to speak truth to. You know, I don't usually lie to somebody else.
Yeah.
And he's saying, hey, let's change that. Put off the old, put on the new, and start speaking truth. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. And you steal from somebody, don't you?
Yes.
You may go into a store and steal something from a store, but you're stealing from somebody.
Yes.
The people who own that store. So you're taking from another person. So instead of that, go to work and do something useful with your hands that you may have something to share with those in need.
Yeah.
So he's just turning the old way of life upside down.
Yes.
And saying, hey, let's look at it from God's vantage point. Let's start thinking about others more highly than ourselves. And when we do, we're going to speak truth. We're not going to steal from them. We're actually going to work and take our resources and share to benefit others. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So this grieving of the Holy Spirit is in the context of how we deal with one another. So if you've done something wrong to me, Richard, and this is just hypothetical,
I've never done anything wrong to Bob, rest assured.
So the Holy Spirit is going to be saying to me, forgive Richard as God in Christ has forgiven me. When I choose not to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven me, I am grieving, quenching, kind of squashing what the Holy Spirit is working inside of me. And, you know, that's going to, the Holy Spirit is never going to stop moving me to forgive as God has forgiven me until I step out. That's just the way this thing works. So it's grieving the Holy Spirit is in context of our relationships one to another. The Holy Spirit wants us to be unified, wants us to show love to one another, and it grieves him when we're at odds with one another.
Yes.
Just like a parent watching their kids, when the kids are at odds with one another, that's a grievous moment for the parent.
Yeah.
What does the parent want more than anything? For those kids to get along. It does a parent's heart good when their kids are getting along one with another. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah, when you look at this, you realize that verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, most people end there. But Paul continues, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Paul never says here that the Holy Spirit's going to unseal you and leave.
Right.
You've been sealed for redemption. You are saved, absolutely saved. Now you get to deal with the Holy Spirit straight up every day, whether you listen or not.
Yes.
And he's going to keep coming back and say, you need to forgive me. You need to forgive me. Hey, Richard, you need to forgive that person or whatever the issue is. Being saved is giving God permission to interfere with you 24/7.
Yes.
And
yes,
he does.
Yes.
And you're always better off if you listen.
Right. And he's constantly at work to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what God is about in us. Mm-hmm. And when we're thinking about the things of the world, we're letting our own fleshly desires kind of rule the roost in a certain situation. That's when we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, and it grieves his heart when we don't. And why? Because it's to our benefit. That's the whole deal. When we learn to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us, it's to our benefit, and it's to the benefit of that other person.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of great things that happen when we really trust the Spirit to do his work in and through us. So that's what this is all about. So Vernon, we certainly appreciate your great question. Man, today has just flown by.
It's gone.
It is absolutely flown by. To kind of circle back to what we talked about at the very beginning of the broadcast, it's the fact that this gospel message addresses the deepest need of the human heart, the fact that we were dead spiritually and in need of life. That's what God is interested in doing for people more than anything else. And then once somebody has come alive in Christ, then they can start the process of growth in Christ, growth in grace, growth in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the transformation really begins. So the gospel is all about life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. So this is a theme throughout the New Testament.
Yes.
This isn't just an isolated verse. This is really the story of the gospel. You and I, because of sin, were dead spiritually. We needed life. Christ came that we might have life. That's good news.
That is good news.
Well, again, thank you to all those who support this broadcast, who stand with us as partners in the gospel, bringing this new life to people the world over. Paul said he was a minister of the new covenant. Why? Because the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. When we're ministering the gospel, we're bringing life to those who are dead spiritually and who need life. So thank you for standing with us in this great ministry. For those who would like to join with us, all the information on how to do so is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.